Pharisees were very good at asking Jesus questions, trying to trick him, to deceive him. And one of the questions that he asked him, as we read here in Mark chapter 10, was, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife? And then we're told that they said this, tempting him or testing him. In answer to the question, the Lord Jesus Christ spoke about the subject of marriage and divorce. And he pointed out that marriage is for keeps. But therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder. Now as we think of marriage, very often we think also of one of the blessings of marriage is for a couple to have a child, or maybe even more than one child, to have several children. The psalmist says, lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. In the book of Ruth, we read that the Lord gave her conception. So certainly children are a gift from God. But as we look at this passage here and talk about these children, let us see how the Lord Jesus Christ showed his love. And I've used in the sermon title the word that is sometimes used for love, and that's the word charity. Charity not in the sense of giving to worthy causes, but charity as it is used in 1 Corinthians 13, meaning love. And as we look at the verses 13 through 16, we see how the Lord Jesus Christ showed his love towards the children that came to him. We see, first of all, in verse 13 and the first part of 14, let the children come. Let the children come. That was Jesus' attitude. Let the children come. Now, let's look at that. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them. They brought young children. They, no doubt, would involve the parents, as parents would bring their children. Probably brothers, sisters might have brought younger brothers and sisters to Jesus. Maybe grandpa and grandma brought some of their grandchildren along. But what they're doing is they bring the young children to Jesus. This was by no means, by the way, the only time that they brought the children to Jesus. We know that the feeding of the 5,000, the feeding of the 4,000, we're told that there were so many men besides women and children. So we know there too that they brought children to Jesus. And I think you will remember too that when we talk about the feeding of the 5,000, it was a child that had the loaves and the fishes that our Lord blessed and broke and used to feed that multitude. So certainly we see this is not the only time that children came to the Savior. We see that at other times as well. But as these parents and others brought these young children to him, that he should touch them, his disciples rebuked those that brought them. The disciples, it seems, did not like the interruption. I can almost picture them there thinking, how dare these people bother Jesus? He's got more important things to do than just talking to some children or touching these children. And after all, the disciples themselves, well, they were more important than just a bunch of kids. After all, they were his chosen disciples. And, you know, no, we don't want these children to go to Jesus. We want to hear what Jesus has to say. Well, the disciples, as a result, then turned to these people and were told, rebuked them. His disciples rebuked those that brought them. That word rebuke is a very strong word. You know, you have stronger word, weaker word, but this is a very strong word. And it's the same word that is used in Mark chapter 4 and verse 39. And that is, when the storm is there on the sea. you know, Jesus then has passed over to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And Jesus was asleep on a pillow, and they woke him up and said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. You know, there's one hymn where you sing these words, Peace, peace, be still, as part of the chorus. And usually that is sung very softly. But I can remember our systematic theology professor at seminary saying one day in chapel, preaching on this passage, he said, I cannot imagine that Jesus whispered, Peace, be still. There's a big storm going on. He would have yelled out loud, Peace, be still. But you know, he rebuked the wind and the waves and told them to be still. Literally, that word rebuke or means to be muzzled. You know, as we sometimes do with animals, you put a muzzle on them. When I go for morning walks, and some of you would have the same experience, to see dogs walking by, but they're muzzled. Don't trust them, I guess. They might bite somebody, but they're muzzled. So that's the idea there. It has the idea of strictly forbidding something with the threat of punishment if the command is not obeyed. So Jesus rebukes, he muzzles the storm, and it stops. Peace, be still. And the winds and the waves obey him. Now that same word here, that very strong word that the disciples use when they rebuke those that have brought the little children. But if you look at verse 14, we see that Jesus was much displeased with the disciples. But when Jesus saw, he was much displeased. Now, that word displeased, it's an interesting word. It's a compound word, and it has the idea of to grieve much. Now, it's the only time that this particular word is used in the Bible, in the New Testament here. So what you see then, Jesus was displeased. Jesus grieved much, as it comes from that kind of a root. In other words, we might say that Jesus was both angry and sad at the same time. No one should ever think of children as unimportant, because that was the problem there with the disciples. Oh, they're just some children. You know, who cares about the children? We, disciples, we want to hear what Jesus has to say. These children, we don't worry about them. But Jesus was displeased. He was grieved over that. Sad, and in a sense angry at the same time. But he would not tolerate the attitude of the disciples. He said, no. Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. And you know, just as Christ did not tolerate that attitude from the disciples, he does not tolerate that kind of an attitude among Christians today either. Children matter to Jesus. And since they matter to Jesus, they should matter a great deal also to us. You know, it's interesting when you think about it. Disciples thought that Jesus needed protection from bothersome children. But what Jesus points out is that the children needed protection from bumbling, awkward, and clumsy adults. Very interesting. The exact opposite. The disciples thought Christ needed protection from the children. But he said, no, the children, protection from these disciples. I believe that our children deserve the best. I'm talking about the children in general in the church. As you think about our Lord, you know, he said, allow these children, suffer these children, permit these children to come into me. Don't forbid them. And I think as a church, we have a responsibility towards our children. They're not here, so I can talk about them. you know, they're all in their Sunday school classes. But you know, you think about it, we have a Sunday school program for them. And constantly looking into materials for that, seeing what needs to be purchased so we can have that, talking about new classes because we have some of the younger ones that are growing up, you know, and soon we'll have class for those 2 years and 3 year-old children. We need to be able to reach them also with the gospel. But not only do we have our Sunday school classes for the children, we have our junior fellowship, roughly 5 to 12 years old, you know, because there is that ministry to the children. You know, we think of the Holiday Bible Club. Recently we were talking about that. When should we have our Holiday Bible Club this year? And we're looking forward again to reaching out to the children. Our Family Bible Conference in May. Again, there is a special children's program. We haven't said a great deal. We just keep talking about Reverend Jack Sin as the speaker. He is. But there is also special meetings for the children because we need to realize that. We need the best for the children. Some people, and I've seen this in some churches, oh, anybody can teach the children. You know, you don't need any training to be a Sunday school teacher. After all, it's just little children. You know, who cares? I think we need our best teachers for the children. Because if we do not reach them while we're young, while they are young, not we, they are young, you know, we're not going to be able to reach them. So I think we need our very best teachers to keep their attention, to teach them solidly the Word of God, so that they may come to faith in Christ. And you know, I realize some of you parents, you have talked to the children so that they have come to faith in Christ through your personal witness to the children. Thank God for that. But still as a Sunday school, we also want to teach the gospel to these children so that they can come and believe on the Lord. And that's why I say the best thing that we can do to express our love to our children is like Jesus. Let them come. Allow the little children to come unto me. Let the children come. Let the children come to the church. Bring them here. And then do your best to lead them to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and that should be done when they are young. And the younger, the better. You know, Dwight L. Moody, famous evangelist, one time returned from a meeting and he said, you know, there's a meeting tonight, there were 2.5 conversions. 2.5 conversions? You mean 2 adults and 1 child? No, he said, 2 children and 1 adult. The children gave their whole lives, but the adult only had half a life. Think about that. Our Lord said, let the children come to me. Forbid them not. And then, if you look at the last phrase there of verse 14 and going on to verse 15, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. So our first consideration was then let the children come. But the second one is learn from the children. Learn from the children. See, in order to grow up, we need to become like a child. In order to grow up as Christians, we need to be childlike, like a child. Now note, Jesus did not say, don't hinder these children because to them belongs the kingdom. He didn't say that. What he did say was this. Don't hinder them because to such as these belongs the kingdom. For of such is the kingdom of God. Instead of blocking their path, Jesus said, help them to come to me for the salvation. Because they represent the kind of people who will inherit the kingdom. So there's a distinction there between saying, you know, to these belong the kingdom, or to such as these belongs the kingdom. And that's what Jesus said, to such as these. For of such, what does he mean by of such? Well, that's what we see here, receiving the kingdom as a little child. Now, some people, of course, believe that children should be seen, but they should not be hurt. Now, what Jesus is saying is that if you want to grow up spiritually, you first need to become like a child. Children are totally dependent upon their parents. They're crusty. They believe basically anything you tell them. You know, they take you at your word. If you tell them the moon is made out of green cheese, they'll believe you. You know, whatever you tell them. They have no reason not to believe it. My daddy says, well, if my daddy says it, it must be true. So they're very trusting, very believing, helpless. You know, and that's the kind of attitude that our Lord wants us to have. Children show the kind of dependence and helplessness and insufficiency and faith and trust that is required of adults to enter the kingdom of God. To such as these belongs the kingdom. So we must learn from the children. Now that's not easy, is it? What can I learn from these little children? Well, you should sometimes come on a Friday night to our junior fellowship and sit in there and listen. Just quietly sit back there. A lot of things you can learn from the children. Many things we have learned from them over the years. We can learn from the children. And see, spiritual maturity is described as Christ-likeness. But also we can say that spiritual maturity is described as childlikeness. In order to grow up, we need to become younger. If we want to become a spiritual adult, we must first become a spiritual child. God sees us as his children. And by the way, the word child or children is used more than 400 times in the Bible, 450 sometimes. But the majority of them does not refer to children. I mean, the young ones. But it refers to being a child of God. Interesting to see the distinction there. But God sees us as his children. And for those of us adults, if we want to become all that God wants for us, we must learn from the children. We must learn to be like the children. We must watch them, listen to them, even become like them, totally dependent upon our Heavenly Father. And so, Jesus said, let the children come to me. We must learn from the children, but then we must also love the children. Love the children. In verse 16, we read that Jesus took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. When I was in probably my first year in school, maybe the second year in school, we had a big poster hanging on the wall in the classroom. I went to a Christian school, and there was a big poster on the wall with a picture of Jesus with many children right around him. You know, a picture that I have seen many times since then. It's a well-known picture. Seen it in different parts of the world. Still a poster there. But it's a good reminder. Jesus took the children up in his arms. That's what he did. You know, it's interesting. They brought young children to him that he should touch them. Touch, touch, touch. No, he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. But you know, that's our Lord. He cared for the children. He loved the children. Jesus went beyond what was asked of him. Not just to touch them. No, no. He did much more than that. He picked them up. He put them in his arms. Put his hands on them. And blessed them. He gave them a verbal blessing. He took the time to demonstrate his love and grace towards the children. He blessed them. He spoke words. God bless you. I don't know exactly what he said, but words somewhere, something to that effect. God bless you. And you know what a change in life can a simple word like that make? I remember reading something happened back in the 1800s in England. There was a missionary meeting. And there was a young boy sitting there listening to the missionary speak. And as the meeting ended and missionary went out, he put his hands on the head of this young boy. He said, God bless you, my boy. Maybe one day you'll be a missionary. And he did. That was David Livingstone. He became a missionary because somebody cared enough to touch him, to say, God bless you. When Jesus blessed the children, he did it with a spoken message. He didn't just put his hand around them and say a word. No, he spoke. He blessed them. But you know, so often, words of love and acceptance for the children are not very often heard. But a blessing becomes so only when it is spoken. Jesus not only touched the children, he spoke to them. He blessed them. He invited them, let the children come. He said we must learn from them. But then he also gave the example in loving the children by taking them in his arms, putting his hands upon them, and blessing them. Now, how could we do something like that, say, here in our church with our children? Some practical ways to love and to encourage our children. And even some of the older children as they become the young people in our church. Well, one thing we can suggest is to speak to them during the fellowship time after church. You know, everybody's running around. Not everybody. The children are running around. You know, usually we are a little bit more sedate. You know, we don't quite run quite as much as the children do. But, you know, we can speak to them. Hi, how are you today? You know, how is school? You know, you can just simply just say something to them. Show just a little bit of interest in the children. Not very difficult, but you can do it. Tell them, secondly, tell them that you think that they're doing a good job. If they're doing a good job, you know, sometimes they spill some crumbs on the floor. Can you pick them up? Oh, sorry. And they'll start picking them up. Good job. Excellent job. You know, just a few weeks ago when we were in the children for the junior fellowship, by the time the meeting was finished, there was a lot of small little pieces of paper all over the carpet. And I said, oh, look at all the paper there. Can you pick it up? And some of them, they got down on their knees and each individual piece. I probably would have got in the broom and tried to sweep it up, but they got down on their knees and they picked it up. Wow, you did a great job. Excellent. You got every spot. You know, give them a little word of encouragement there. And again, they're doing a good job. Let them know. Help they help out in one way or another. If you happen to know when their birthday is, why don't send them a birthday card? Yeah. I know our Sunday school does that. Sunday school teachers give birthday cards to the children in the Sunday school. If you have children in Sunday school, you know when it's their birthday, they get a card and a small little gift. Huh? But if you know when their birthday is, give them a little gift. Or sometimes you might even, especially when they get to be a little bit older, not talking now so much about the 5, 6, 8, 10 year olds, but maybe when they get to be the teenagers. And of course, there probably some of them would be here, you know, to maybe even write a little letter of encouragement or give them a phone call to encourage them. Just a little thing by which you can encourage them. Something else you can do too, and that is, if you come in touch with other people, or make families that have children, tell other people about our children's program in the church. Tell them about our youth program. So that, again, word is spread around. We have something for the children. You know, so this can be done. And you can always make up more invitations and tell about the various activities. Now you can go to the internet and you can look at covenantbcc.org.au. You know, you can look at our church's website and you can go there and you can look at the activities, the ministries of the church. You go to youth fellowship, you go to junior fellowship, and it has just a little bit about these fellowships. But you can encourage other people. So, you got a teenager? I think they would enjoy coming to our church's youth fellowship. So there again is something that you can do. And then I'll just mention one more. And this is something that is an item that is of deep concern to me. And that is, we need more people to serve the Lord full time. You know, so often, churches get started, but there are no pastors for them. We need more pastors. We need more missionaries for that matter too. And we have to be realistic. Next year I'll be turning 70, Lord willing. And sooner or later, I will no longer be able to carry on the ministry here. That's just one of the simple facts of life. All right? Now, how much more years the Lord will give me, I don't know. None of us know that. But we have to be realistic and start preparing the church now for eventually a new pastor to come in here. And so, what I want you to think is, as I look around, do I see any of the young people, especially in the church, that they could maybe consider full-time Christian service? Pray for some of these young people. And then, if you have an opportunity to talk to them, say, have you ever thought about serving the Lord full-time? Oh, no, I haven't. Well, how about praying about that? Maybe just a little word like that could be a great help and a great encouragement. It shows your love to these children. It shows your love to these young people. And at the same time, it is a help, ultimately, to our church. So just a few simple suggestions. You know, talk to the young people. Talk to the children. Tell them they're doing a good job. Send them a birthday card or a note or give them a telephone call. Tell other people outside about our children's program, about our youth program, especially, and some of you have been very good at that, by the way, and that's to invite children to come to a holiday Bible club. But we'd like to see them come for Sunday school as well, or through our junior fellowship. So we want to develop some of these areas. And then see if you can encourage some of our young people to consider full-time Christian service. About 10 or 12 years ago now, my wife and I were serving the Lord in the United States. And as we were doing so, we were traveling extensively, visiting churches to interest them in the subject of missions, to get them to pray for missions, to support missions financially. So it was generally getting the people more interested in missions. One of the churches that we visited was the Columbus, Ohio Bible Presbyterian Church. It was actually a very small church. As a matter of fact, they did not even have their own building. They met in the home of the elder. The church did have an elder, met in his home. And so we went to the elder's home and we stayed with the elder and his wife that night. But there's something that I will never forget. On the wall, they had a plaque. Many of you had a plaque on the wall that different writing on it. And this plaque read something like this. 100 years from now, it will not matter what kind of car I drove, what kind of house I lived in, how much money was in my bank account, nor what my clothes looked like. But the world may be a better place because I was important in the life of a child. Think about that. For many of us, we can probably change 100 years to 50 years. I didn't quite want to do that because we still have some pretty young ones here. But they're probably still around 50 years from now. Of course, we'll still be alive 100 years from now. But not here on this earth. We'll be with the Lord. But think about it. 100 years from now, or maybe even 50 years from now, does it matter what kind of car you drive? Not really. What kind of house you live in? Not really. You're not enjoying it anymore. How much money was in your bank account back then? Not going to need your bank account much anymore, are you? Not worried about what your clothes look like. But the world may be a better place because I was important in the life of a child. I witnessed to the child. I spoke an encouraging word to the child. I told them that they were doing a good job. I encouraged them. And that there's so much that we can do. Think about it. 100 years from now. What about today? Let the children come to Jesus. Spurgeon said, a child of 5, when properly taught, he probably used the word instructed in those days, when properly instructed, can savingly believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when I was a student at Bob Jones University, there was one semester that a group of us, about 5 or so of us, that went to the Cherokee Indian Reservation. And we had a children's ministry there, especially. And I saw a young child making a decision for Christ. And when I told the parents about it, they were very indignant, angry. He is too young to believe on Jesus. No, he wasn't. As Spurgeon says, a child of 5, when properly instructed, can savingly believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let the children come to Jesus. Learn from them. Be humble. Be childlike in your faith. And, like Jesus, let us love the children. Let us love the children in our church. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, how we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and his love for the children. And he said, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. For of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. Lord, we thank you for that example that Jesus took the children up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. Lord, help us also to have that kind of love for our children, for our grandchildren, for the children in our church. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.